Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. It's summer. Time to be silly and have fun. Congress and the IRS must have written a lot of the retirement plan and IRA rules in the summer because there are so many rules that are just plain silly. Sometimes I think they must have been kidding. Start with beneficiary Roth conversions. Let's say daughter Susie inherits a traditional IRA and a traditional 401k from her mother. The tax code is perfectly clear. If Susie's income is under $100,000, she can convert the inherited 401k plan to an inherited Roth IRA. But under no circumstances may Susie convert the inherited IRA to an inherited Roth IRA. What's the policy reason for allowing beneficiary Roth conversions for plans, but not for IRAs? I'll tell you a secret. I don't think there is a policy reason. I think it was a mistake. The 10% penalty on pre-age 59 and a half distributions provides a gold mine of silly distinctions. For example, a young person can take money out of his IRA penalty-free to pay higher education expenses, but not out of his 401k plan. Why are higher education expenses blessed when paid out of an IRA, but cursed when paid out of a 401k plan? You know, we often see that people get stuck with the 10% penalty because they are naive or ignorant. But this distinction is so ridiculous that it trips up the best and the brightest. For example, last year, a CPA who was going for his PhD had to pay the 10% penalty because he paid his tuition bill out of the wrong retirement account. Here's another one. If you retire at age 55, you can take money out of your former employer's company plan penalty-free immediately. Got that? Retire at 55 and you can access the money without penalty. But if you retire before age 55, you can't just wait until you reach age 55 to get the money without penalty. No! If you retire before age 55, you have to wait until age 59 and a half to access your employer's plan penalty-free. I'm sure there's a very significant policy behind that rule. Next, suppose you get divorced and you're under age 59 and a half. The divorce court awards you half of your ex's 401k plan and half of your ex's IRA. You can now take penalty-free distributions from your share of your ex-spouse's 401k plan. But any money you take from your share of your former spouse's IRA is subject to the 10% penalty. Are you having fun yet? How about this? The IRS has three different rules for how to value an annuity contract held in an IRA. There's one rule for how to value the contract for minimum distribution purposes if it stays in the IRA after the participant reaches age 70 and a half. There's another rule, a different method, for valuing the contract for income tax purposes if the contract is distributed to the participant. And a completely different third valuation method that applies for income tax purposes if you convert that same annuity contract to a Roth IRA. By the way, speaking of the IRS has now issued about 60 private letter rulings stating their hard and fast rule that a surviving spouse cannot roll over retirement benefits that are paid to her as beneficiary of an estate or trust. And those would be the very same 60 private letter rulings where the IRS allowed a surviving spouse, in that particular case, to roll over benefits that were paid to her as beneficiary of an estate or trust. So the rule is, apparently, you can't do it unless we say so. This is like the children's game of Simon Says. And the IRS is Simon. A spouse can roll over benefits that come to her through an estate or trust, but only if Simon says it's okay. Too bad the surviving spouse has to pay a $9,000 user fee for for a private letter ruling to get Simon to say it's okay. Back to the Internal Revenue Code. When you retire, you typically have the choice of taking cash from your 401k or, instead, directing the plan to transfer your account into an IRA. That's called a direct rollover. If you choose cash, the plan must withhold 20% of your distribution and send it to the IRS as withheld income taxes. If you choose direct rollover instead, there is no income tax withholding and your entire distribution goes into your rollover IRA account. And then, the very next day, you can withdraw the entire distribution from the rollover IRA without any income tax withholding, because mandatory income tax withholding doesn't apply to IRA distributions. It only applies to company retirement plans. If you find out why Congress built in that difference, would you please let me know? And that reminds me of lump sum distributions. You are probably familiar with the special deal for NUA stock. To qualify for that very special deal, you have to receive a lump sum distribution of 100% of the benefits that you have in the company plan. Not just all the stock, but all assets that you have in that plan must be distributed within a single calendar year. If you don't take out every single dollar in your plan within 1 year, then you don't have a lump sum distribution and you don't get the favorable NUA treatment. So for example, if you withdrew $1 million worth of NUA stock, but inadvertently you failed to take out a $10,000 mutual account that you had in the same plan in the same year, you wouldn't have a lump sum distribution. You'd lose out. But if you do take out every dollar in the account within one calendar year, so you do qualify as having a lump sum distribution, you can roll over as much of the distribution as you want to an IRA and still get NUA treatment for the stock that you don't roll over. Now, why is it okay to roll over part of the distribution, but not okay to leave part of the money in the plan in the first place? What's the difference? Ask your congressperson. And while you're at it, I got a few more questions you can ask your congressperson. Like, why are lifetime minimum distributions required for a Roth 401k account, but not required for a Roth IRA? Why are the income limits different for Roth IRA conversions than for regular annual Roth IRA contributions? Why is it illegal to contribute to a traditional IRA after age 70 and a half, but okay to contribute to every other type of retirement plan, including a Roth IRA after that age? Wait, there's more. If an IRA is left to multiple individual beneficiaries, they can split up the inherited account into separate inherited IRAs, one payable to each beneficiary, so that each beneficiary can use his or her own life expectancy to measure required distributions. So far, so good. But if the same individual beneficiaries inherit the same account through a trust, they can still split up the IRA into separate inherited IRAs, one payable to each of them. But if it came to them through a trust, they all have to use the oldest beneficiary's life expectancy. Go figure. Well, I've served up a dozen ridiculous distinctions for you in the IRA and retirement benefit rules. Now I think I'll head to the beach. See you in September. For Morningstar Advisor, this is Natalie Choate.